Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
As the Nationals are a strike away from franchise history and some World Series history. Swing and a miss! Swing and a miss! Swing and a miss! And a World Series Game 7 winning Curly W is in the books!
It's not a dream! It's not a desert mirage! It's Lord Stanley, and he is coming to Washington!
Oh, great crossover.
Got
him. Just left Fournier.
That's called getting put on skates.
Down to two, down to one, and the Washington football team with the upset in Pittsburgh, handing the Steelers their first loss of the season, coming back from 14-0 down. What a win.
The show by the fans for the fans. Covering all four major sports in the District of Champions. It's the DC Crossover Podcast with your hosts, Mike Cerrone and Ben Simpson.
Hello and welcome to another episode of DC Crossover, episode number 114. I am Ben Simpson. That is Mike Cerrone, and welcome to the off-season. As we begin our summer version of the show here, with the only sport being played, besides, of course, the WNBA, is Major League Baseball. And with the Nats season currently sitting in fifth place, last place in the division, we're not just going to come on here and talk Nats every week because that will be depressing. So we're going to mix it up, talk about a bunch of different stuff this summer. So welcome to the off season. You can check out the show on Twitter at the DC Crossover and at Cerrone16 for Mike. And then check out the TikTok, DC Crossover Podcast on the Talk, where Mike posts clips of the show. So that's definitely a great place to go. So, Mike, we're going to head up the off-season today. And that, of course, as people know, involves food talk. So I'm excited for later on in the episode. We're going to get into some Oreo talk, because I did try, and I'll talk about this more later, but I will say I did try one of the new, there's two new Oreo flavors that came out this year. One of them is Toffee Crunch, and then one of them is what I've tried, Ultimate Chocolate Flavor, which which has like a big piece of chocolate cake like the picture on there. I got a lot to say. I'm not gonna give my review or anything right now, but that I'm looking forward to putting that on the list, because we're gonna take a look at an article that ranked Oreos, and I'm sure we're going to have a lot of disagreements with them. But Mike,
that was like, by the way, this is like when we did the fudge covered Oreos, and when we started our snacks, reviews and stuff like that, which I'm sure we'll probably bring back here anytime. But that was the funny thing, is when we did those, that was like our first snack that we reviewed. And the best part about it was that we gave it like a 9.7 out of 10. We're like, there's the only way to go down from here.
Yeah, there's no way to top that. I mean, fudge-covered Oreo, unbelievable, which we'll see where they rank on the list here on that article. So it is Memorial Day as we are recording this. So obviously, shout out to any families that have those who have lost in the service and things like that have passed away. And it is one of those... It's one of those odd things with a holiday weekend where it's like, you know, it's nice to have the 3-day weekend and people spend it in a variety of ways. But obviously, you have military in your family. I got military in my family. It's not necessarily like a weekend of like it's weird because like you know, it's not like celebration. It's more like memorial and like, you know, obviously memorializing those. But right. people kind of spend it going to Ocean City or going to, you know, all this stuff and drinking and having a good time, which I guess is the grand point of it all, that those who lost their lives did so in order for us to live, you know, free and do what, you know, do all those fun things. But it's just kind of one of those weird holiday weekends where you don't want to be too excited about it, you know?
Right, right. And that's a quick gripe I'll get to is, and I'm sure we'll get to this during the off season here, where we'll rank like summer holidays and holidays and stuff like that.
Yeah, for sure.
But that's the funny thing is that I hate the people who are like, all right, fire up the grills, all right, I'll head to the pool. Like, yeah. Okay, I understand you're taking the tarp off the pool or whatever it's called. You're you know, I've been grilling all year, and it's like everyone's like, throw the burgers on there, buddy. Keep mine medium. Like yep. It's like those weird people that like sit there and they have to have these huge cookouts and stuff like that. It's like, what happened to like just a random Saturday? Like Memorial Day isn't a day like 4th of July. It's not 4th of July.
Right.
You're not trying to celebrate right. things. Memorial Day is kind of like Veterans Day. You're thinking back about people that sacrificed their lives and your first responders, different things like that. All these different types of things. You're supposed to look back and kind of be thankful for it. Now, I understand the viewpoint of people sitting there saying like, hey, you know, I'm celebrating with my family, you know, just being together and all that kind of stuff.
Sure, sure.
But to me, it's like, I don't like that, you know, Bob over there who's just saying like, hey, like playing the music in the background, like, you know, sitting there yeah. doing a jig saying happy, hey, happy, whatever. I don't even know.
Yeah,
I don't
like
know
when you say like happy Memorial Day, that's when it's kind of like, that's not really what it's for.
Yeah.
That's not really what it's about.
Oh, tilts
yeah,
me.
I get it. And it's every year. And it's one of those things where it's like, it's never going to stop.
Yeah.
Like people are, there's always going to be. That, and it's like, look, like I'm not, is it really like grinding my gears too much? It's like, probably not, but I see it and I cringe. I see,
yeah.
I'm with you. I see it every year and you just kind of cringe a little bit like, I mean, I'm glad you're having a good time, but, and there's nothing wrong with that. But at the same time, it's like, it's supposed to be a bigger day, you know, it's supposed to be like,
yeah.
you know, take a second to think about the sacrifice part
yeah.
of it right before you stuff your fifth hot dog in your mouth.
I'm not losing sleep over it, but it's just
right,
like the people
right.
that sit there and say, what sauce are we going with, brats? Like, it's just like, and those are the type of people that literally talk like that too. They're like,
right.
they're like so happy go lucky. And they're like, I get a day off of work. Like, it's like. You know, I didn't think of, oh, Memorial Day, awesome. I get a day off of work. That's not my first thought when it comes to
right.
Memorial Day. Now, obviously,
yeah,
like,
I'm with you.
Like you said, I got military in my family and stuff like that. My pap recently passed and everything like that. So it's
right.
like, you know, I went to Quantico yesterday with my grandma, mom, my sister. You know, I went over there and stuff like that. And it's not that type of weekend for me. For that,
no.
for that reason,
you didn't
it's like,
show up to Quantico wearing a Hawaiian shirt.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's like it's just like yeah. Oh, I got to go to the barbecue after this. Like,
yeah.
it's not like I don't know. People can celebrate, do whatever they want. But like you said, it's cringeworthy. It's
it
very
is.
Very
it
cringeworthy.
Is. It is, and you definitely encounter that this weekend. But you know, and save it all for July 4th, man. That's where you blow
right,
it out.
Right.
July 4th weekend. You know, that's where, yeah, the fireworks, the hot dogs, everything, all that good stuff. That's coming up not that far from now. We do have a lot to get to, but we'll take a sec because I didn't want to let you know, Mike, real briefly. So, and I've been meaning to talk to you about this because this happened a couple weeks ago. Is so I encountered probably the worst food I've ever had in my entire life. A few weeks back, I went and got my hair cut. And after the haircut, there's a couple places nearby my haircut. There's a Subway, and not a big Subway guy. And then there's like a couple other places. And I was like, you know what? Let me go into the grocery store and check out the buffet because I know they have a hot buffet
right,
at
right.
the grocery store. Now this wasn't like a Trader. I don't think Trader Joe's has it. This wasn't a Whole Foods, which
right.
I know is like known for having a great buffet. This was a Giant.
You're rolling the dice.
So I walk into Giant, and I'll tell you one thing is. Even the workers who saw me head to the buffet were a little surprised because I don't think they've ever seen anybody go to the hot buffet at Giant on like a Wednesday. Like the food that was in the buffet had likely been there since like 2019. Like my guess is because what are they just changing it out every day, which is, I mean, they're supposed to be, but like who's getting the food there? Are they just throwing away food all day? I don't think so. So they had wings. They had like three or four different types of wings.
Okay.
What they called wings. They had some chicken tenders. they had like lo mein type thing, like noodles and stuff. Then they had like fried rice. It was like six or seven different things. And so I walk over there. I'm like, all right, I guess I'm doing this. And I grab, there's a little tiny box. They don't give you like a big box. There was like a tiny little box for me to put food in there. And I was like, dang, if it's all by weight, it's like, why not just give me a big box and then you can, it will still weigh the same. So there's a tiny little box. So I start picking a couple, you know, wings out. And I'm realizing as I'm grabbing them, I'm like, this is not going to be good. This is going to go bad.
And then you're in limbo because you can't put it down because then everyone's looking
at
you.
I'm already there. And there's like the workers are already kind of watching me. And like, you know, there's moms walking by with their grocery carts being like, is that guy really doing this? So I filled up a little container with like three or four wings and some rice. And then I had to grab a second container because I was like, well, this isn't going to be enough food. And I filled that one up with noodles and like a couple chicken fingers or something. And I was like, this is just a wild assortment of food. I'm going to give it a shot. And then so I go over and I check out. It's by weight or whatever. It wasn't much. It was like 10 bucks or something. And then I head home. And then I unwrap my boxes when I get to my place. And I'm looking at these wings. I'm looking at this food. I'm going, I'm going to eat this, but this is not going to be enjoyable for me. And when I tell you these were the worst wings I've ever had, like, it's by a mile.
Right.
Like, I've had some, you know, you and I have been to probably a bunch of different wings places over the years. And, like, yeah, every now and then you get a bad batch where it's like, ah, this wasn't that great or not that much meat on the bone or something. I mean, these things were rubbery. These things were slimy. I mean, as I ate, like, half of one wing and then I threw the rest out of the wings.
That's saying something.
And then I moved on to the lo mein, and I was like, all right, it's noodles. How hard can it be to screw up noodles? The noodles, same thing, slimy, gross. I had like three noodles and then threw them out. And I was like, all right, rice, fried rice. You can't, I mean, it's tough to screw up rice, man. And I that one I did eat a little bit more of. And then the chicken tenders, dude, I'll tell you, they were the hardest chicken tenders I've ever tasted in my life. And that's not a good sign.
Yeah.
Like, they were hard as a rock. I could barely even chew them. And I just realized, I was like, that grocery store buffet, like, I was probably the only guy to have ate at that buffet, like, in 2022. There's just no way. Like, have you ever walked by one of those buffets and been like, I want to try some of that? Now, again, Whole Foods is known for having a great buffet. Right. So if you do, this is different. This is Giant or like Safeway or any of those like little low rent grocery stores where it's like they're not known for their, you don't hear raving reviews about Giant's hot food buffet. It's disgusting.
The problem is you go into those places hungry and you know, you're like, you know, and I'm not going to lie. I've gone to certain places. Now, I've gone to Whole Foods a couple times and gotten their stuff and it's pretty good.
It's solid.
But the problem is that, like I said, you go into Giant, you go into Harris Teeter. Now, Harris Teeter, I think, is above Giant or Safeway. Shoppers, if it's even a thing anymore. But the thing about it is that when you're looking at a type of place like those places, you usually just go in there and you're like, I got to get a couple items or something like that. Mm. Like, back where I grew up, you know, they had a Safeway right down the road. And, you know, people go in there. I don't go in there to shop for groceries. Like, I go in there to grab one thing that I forgot to grab.
Sure. A snack or two. Yeah.
Right. And that's the biggest thing is, you know, you're looking at it and saying, okay, I'm hungry, but I should probably just stray away from this. But then you're like, man, that chicken finger looks really good because I'm starving.
It looks good from afar, man. It looked pretty good from afar.
It's glistening, and that just ended up being the fat that from some other dish. Or
something. It was disgusting. I mean, it's just embarrassing because it always makes me wonder. It's like, why does that place even have that buffet?
Yeah.
Because there can't be more than three people that eat at that buffet on a daily basis. Like, there just can't be. Like, I understand, like, maybe they're, because even, like, people that maybe work around that Giant or something, that, like, they're going to go get, like, a microwavable meal or they're going to get something else there that's okay. But the hot food buffet at Giant, it was just, I'm telling you, I'll put it up there on my Mount Rushmore of worst meals I've ever had in my life. That has got to be right up there. Right up there with the Indian food that gave me food poisoning.
Right
up there, for sure. It was absolutely disgusting. And then on the other side of things, before we hit the rewind button, I will say I did try, and I texted you about this, I did try Roaming Rooster for the first time.
Right.
DC, people who live in DC probably have heard of Roaming Rooster. There's one at Nats Park now for this season. I haven't been to Nats Park this year, but I know that they have a station there. So I tried it, chicken sandwich, hot chicken sandwich, and I'll tell you, pretty damn good. I would definitely put it, I think I gave it a 7.7 on my rating. Real solid It's a good size. Bun was good. Chicken was good.
Nice.
The coleslaw worked. The sauce was good. The fries were like Five Guys type fries.
Oh, wow.
They were really solid, too. So Roaming Rooster, still not not above Woo Boy. Woo Boy's still king in this area in my eyes. But Roaming Rooster gave it a little bit of a run for its money, I will say.
You know what? Just touching on what you said about Nats Park, about it being in Nats Park. One thing I saw on the talk a couple days ago were these two guys that were like, hey, we're going to go.
Baseball stadium?
Yeah, baseball stadium.
Saw that.
You saw that when they went to Nats Park?
Yep.
It tilted me to no end because the guy, okay, I understand you're going to get a hot dog and you're going to get it because it's the most universal, ballpark type food.
Right, right.
They got a tachos was the other food they got. I'm like,
I saw that. Their specialty food or whatever. It's like, I've never even heard of that.
Yeah, I'm like, there's so many other things in that ballpark. And you go there and they're like, oh, this is terrible. This is terrible.
Like if they went to Roaming Rooster, they probably would have been like, oh, this is amazing. Like,
yeah.
This is a delicious chicken sandwich. I will say it's hilarious that they said the concourse. They gave it like a 2 out of 10 or something for the concourse.
Like, it's like, I mean, it's obviously it's not the best concourse, but I'm not there to walk around the concourse and get the ambiance of the concourse. Like, I want to watch the baseball.
If you go at, like, the, not even, like, the club level, but, like, that indoor, I guess it is club level, the indoor part where, like, where it's all the AC, nice air conditioning and stuff, and, like, they have, like, on the walls, like, framed pictures and memorabilia and all this kind of cool stuff. So there is stuff to see at the concourse in Nats Park. It's just not, like, certain areas and stuff. Yeah, I saw those clowns too.
All right, get out of here,
losers. We got a lot to get to, so we'll quickly recap the previous week, and then we'll move on to other stuff here. So we'll start with the Washington Nationals, who currently sit 18-31 on the year, very close to that 19-31 start. If they win today, they play tonight, I believe. Last place in the NL East. Monday, lost to the Dodgers. Our old pal Trey Turner gets 3 RBI in his first game against his former club. Yoan Adone gives up 6 earned runs in 4 2/3. Josh Bell goes 2 for 4, but the Nats lose. Tuesday, another loss, 9-4. Mookie Betts hits 2 bombs in this one. Trey hits a homer as well. Tough, tough day for Josiah Gray. Gives up 7 earned over 3 innings. That does not help the ERA. Wednesday, though, the Nats did beat the Dodgers. Our ace of the staff, Eric Fetty, throws 6 innings, shutout, 6 Ks. Tanner Rainey gets a save in this one. Cesar Hernandez collects the lone RBI. Nats do get 1 of the 3 games against the Dodgers. And then Thursday kicked off a 4-game series against the Rockies. They beat the Rockies 7-3 on Thursday. Corbin gets a win, allows 3 runs over 6 1/3. Cesar Hernandez goes 2 for 4. Saturday beat the Rockies 13-7. Victor Robles, 6 RBI, including a home run in this game. I texted you guys the other day. He's like hitting like 260 now or something. I mean, like, he's turning it around a bit. Riley Adams homered in this one as well. The second game of the doubleheader on Saturday, Nats lose 3-2. Kyle Finnegan gives up the go-ahead run in the seventh. Yadiel Hernandez did homer. And then Sunday, I watched all of this one. Nats beat the Rockies. They almost blew it, but they win 6-5. Soto hit a bomb. He's starting to get hot. Josiah Gray pitched well, 5 innings, 1 earned run. Tanner Rainey gets a save, pitches for the final 5 outs of the game. And then last but not least, DC United does lose to New York Red Bulls 4-1. Just kind of an ugly game. Only 1 shot on goal the entire match was Ola Kamara's goal in the 88th minute. I mean, you're not going to win any soccer games with 1 shot on goal all match. I mean, that's just disgusting. but yeah, Juan Soto did, I think he broke like a 15-game homerless streak. He got his homer. The game before that, he hit a double in the gap. He's starting to heat up. He's been a little disappointing for sure to start the year, but it's a good sign to see him hit an Oppo Taco in that one. Oppo Tacho. There you go. We got some Commander stuff before we get to the fun stuff, so let's get into that. The Commander. So many here in the district, especially, have heard the recent comments and the discussions around, we've talked about on this show, about the stadium placement and kind of where they're thinking, and Virginia's having to vote on, you know, whether or not they're going to give financing for this new stadium. And there was a Virginia State Senator who's made the rounds, Chap Peterson. I believe he went on both shows. I know he went on the Junks, but I also know I think he went on Finley too, JP Finley's show. And basically he has been very public in his statements that he does not plan to support Virginia's pursuit of the Commanders' new stadium, in particular, cites about the team having no brand and things like that. So we have a couple clips from Peterson's appearance on the Junkies. So let's get into the first one here. Again, this is a discussion around this topic here. So we'll start with our first clip here. This is Chap Peterson.
But the point I was making is that the Redskins, as we grew up together, was an iconic part of our community. And, you know, the figures of that team, the Joe Theismans, the John Riggins, Daryl Green, you know, up through Sean Taylor. I mean, these people were iconic. I mean, they were one recognizable all over the DMV. And that era is over. And so much of this, you know, the idea that, well, we're trying to put together this stadium and we've got this franchise and we're going to enter a long-term partnership, at least initially, was based on this concept that, yeah, we've got this incredibly valuable NFL franchise with this long history, and that's what's going to make it a long-term partner for the state. But none of that exists anymore. You don't have the fan base for starters. You just don't. You don't have the same identity. You don't have the same community buy-in. I mean, if you look at I've talked with people about this. This is objective. This is not my opinion. If you look at sort of the amount of community presence and community exposure of this football team versus, say, the Eagles or the Cowboys or the Giants or anybody else, it's not comparable. And, again, I'm looking at it from a taxpayer perspective. I got to make a decision what makes sense for the taxpayers, what makes sense economically, because if we in any way subsidize, even in a small way, a huge economic development, and then the anchor tenant is not a stable entity and either leaves or does something else, that's a problem.
A lot to unpack there, Mike.
Yep.
And I think the first thing that sticks out to me, and then I'm very interested to hear your thoughts. The first thing that sticks out to me is, while yes, the Joe Theismans and those guys are not here anymore because that was 30 years ago, at the same time, he's clearly not paying attention to this team. I can almost guarantee Chap Peterson didn't watch more than maybe one or two games last year, because if you asked him to name five players on the Commanders, I guarantee he couldn't do it. There are still elite talent and guys that the fans are getting behind, guys like John Allen, guys like, of course, like Chase Young, of course. Carson Wentz now being the quarterback of this team is a big major face in the NFL. To say that this team has like no name recognition guys just means you're not paying attention to the sport. Like, you don't care about the NFL, or like you're just a casual fan and you know Russell Wilson and Aaron Rodgers. Okay, great. But that's very surface level, and anybody can name those guys. But if he indeed cares about this team and cares about the franchise, then he's just not paying attention to my eyes, because there's a lot of talented guys on this squad that, yeah, this team isn't winning the Super Bowl or anything, but to say like, oh yeah, there's no name guys anymore. It's like, yeah, there's no Joe Theismans, sure, but there are still Jonathan Allen and Daron Payne's and those types of guys on this team that are making an impact and are elite talent in the league. So that's a little frustrating, Mike.
So he has been stated that he is a fan of the team. He grew up in Fairfax. I think he still lives in Fairfax. But the biggest thing that I'm looking at is that I think that he mainly is saying that this team has no history because of the sole fact they changed their name, they rebranded, they changed their identity, all that kind of stuff. I think he's kind of comparing it to when the Houston Oilers moved to Tennessee. Like, that was a different story, though, because honestly, when you're looking at a situation like that, that's a whole move. We're not talking about moving, 45 minutes down the road. And obviously it's a lot more than that because this whole fact, the traffic and all that kind of stuff in the DMV and whatnot. But I just think that when you're looking at him say this, you know, this is out loud. This is him saying like, hey, I'm one of whatever, 45 of them have to vote on this, come, I think June 3rd or something, I think the vote is. But the thing about it is I just think that when it comes down to people's viewpoint, they're still not happy with the name change. They're still not happy with the branding. They're still not happy with a lot of the decisions that are being made, even though Jason Wright is, you know, pretty smart, pretty knowledgeable about the sure. league and different things like that. I also think there's an underlying thing, because later on in that interview, the Junks asked him, hey, what do you think about Dan? Like, have you hung out with Dan? He said, yeah, I've had lunch with Dan a couple times or whatever. And they say, what do you think about him? He's like, oh, he's a good guy, whatever. But they were kind of putting him in hot water, so he can't really say anything.
Sure.
But at the same time, we all just don't like Dan Snyder. We don't like what he's done. Right. We don't like the business he runs. We know the allegations. We all know all the noise that is surrounding this team, to the point where you're looking at Chad Peterson's, you know, dilemma here. He's pissed how Dan Snyder was all for the Redskins name, all for the colors and the glory that the Redskins had and all this kind of stuff, and then he just gave in. And I think that's really rubbing people the wrong way. And again, I've kind of moved on past it. I still have Redskins gear.
You gotta get over it. Not you, but anyone that's still holding on to that, you got to get over it. It's not going to go back to the Redskins. That's never going to happen, ever.
Yeah.
So, like, you have to move on, and this is the Commanders now, and this is the new era, and they're trying. You and I talked at length about the name, and we laughed, and we were kind of, like, making fun of things and things like that. But we also said that it's going to take time for this rebrand to fully set in, and it's going to take time to build up this new culture and this new legacy, blah, 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 blah. That's just going to take time. To keep grasping for the 90s and keep grasping for the Hogs and all those old teams, it's like there should be a tie to tradition, for sure. There should always be kind of a line, because that's your legacy. But it's not going to go back to that. So you have to move forward. You have to move on. And like guys like Chad Peterson, who are clamoring, who are still upset about the name change, get over it. It's done. Like you can be upset, you know, when it originally happened. It's been years now since they changed the name. So you got to get over it and move on. And this could be a new help with that new era for the Commander stuff. And I don't know, what pisses me off too, it's just like the fan base thing. It's like everybody who grew up here and knows that the Reds, the former Redskins, now the Commanders fan base, is a sleeping giant. They just need a winner to rally around. I mean, when this team was competing, there's no better. I mean, of the four major sports in this area, the football team by far leads in the fanship. By far. There's more football fans than Nationals fans. There's definitely more football fans than the Caps. There's definitely more football fans than whoever I'm leaving out. The Wizards, of course. There's definitely more fans than the Wizards. I think it's a greater area that supports the football team than some of those other teams. And I just think that if the winning cures everything, and I think if this team can put together a winner again, you're going to see that the fans are going to be behind this team again. They're going to rally behind it, because football is king. I mean, the NFL is the king of all sports. It brings up way more ratings than anybody else. So I just think that it has a fan base. It's not like the stadium's selling out every year, because the product's been crap.
Right.
If the product's better, people are going to drive from all over to watch a winner. I mean, that's just how it is. So,
and one thing I think that also goes along with this, and I've actually dealt with this a little bit on my end as well, I still have Redskins gear. So, you know, I'm a teacher, so I see a lot of kids with Redskins gears, Redskins gear on and stuff like that. But the thing about it is you have those people out there, and now it's starting to rally down to some kids as well, where it's like, why are you wearing that? Why are you doing this? Why are you like, okay, well, that doesn't mean, going back to my other example, that doesn't mean you can't sit there and wear an Oilers Warren Moon jersey. Like, you can't do that because there are Titans. It's like, I just think that when you're looking at it, it kind of infuriates me a little bit when I hear that, because I'm like, it's history. Like, it happened. It's like, that's like literally saying, like, you know, you wearing a U.S. Navy T-shirt with a emblem of a ship that's decommissioned. Oh, why do you have that? It's not in the Navy anymore. Well, sorry, it happened. It's history. Like, it's the same thing. The same name. Like, it's the same thing for every single team that's out there. It's like, I just don't get it when people sit there and they start poking the bear, saying, "Why are you wearing that? Why are you wearing that? Why are you wearing that?" It's like, don't do that. And I think that's why he's kind of Maybe he's been hearing the grumblings about that a little bit. I'm just speculating, but
sure.
Maybe he has that underneath his skin a little bit, saying like, man, I'm tired of everyone saying what, like, I used to love the Redskins. I used to love the Redskins too. I still love the Redskins. My dad loves the Redskins. My family members love the Redskins. Everyone loves the Redskins. But now we have to move on to a new chapter because they basically pulled the trigger here and said, hey, we're changing the name. They did it. Now we have to move on and root for the team that's still in the area that still technically has that history. Now, they still have the same people that say, like, I think John Riggins, I think, came out and said, why are they selling my name on Commanders jerseys or something like that? I was a Redskin, not a Commander. And I think that's the same thing. It's like, I agree with him, like, yeah, but at the same time, sure, you were a part of this franchise. It's different when, you know, it's like I said, they're not selling Warren Moon freaking
The team
Tennessee
didn't
Titan
move
jersey.
They just changed their name. Like, it's like, yeah, it's like, I I'm with you. Like, I understand some of the people being annoyed by that and stuff like that, as far as like the Riggins stuff, but it's like the Commanders is, I mean, it's still the same line. Like, it's still the same dynasty line as far as, like, it went from the Redskins to the Washington football team to the Commanders. So it's like, it's not like there's the team moved to a whole different part of the country or anything, right, and then changed their name. Like, it's all, like, it's like when, it's weird when the Nats do any Expo-related things, because it's like, right, all right, I mean, those are like two different franchises, two different teams sort of things. But this isn't that. This is literally the same team. It's just, right, a different name.
Well, the second clip that we're about to play, actually, yeah, he says a really interesting thing at the very end of it. So definitely stay tuned to that. But I think when it comes down to what he says in this clip, it's kind of him, like, they're grilling him a little bit, but he's trying to back up his point a little bit. But it seems to me like he's most likely on the fence. He's not really a hard no, hard yes, whatever it may be. I think that he's more so on the fence saying, you know, I'm leaning towards no. You know, I don't really feel like doing this or whatever. But he does make a good point at the very end of this clip. All right, here we go.
This is a no to every professional sports franchise. But again, you're talking about a 60,000-seat stadium. You're talking about all the affiliated infrastructure with that. This is not like popping in sort of a small soccer stadium or mm-hmm. a small, even an NBA facility. I mean, you're talking about a massive commitment of not just the bonds, but also public infrastructure. Mm. And again, who's the anchor tenant going to be? Let me ask you all a question. What happens if we build this, or, you know, Dan Snyder built the stadium, or the team built the stadium, and we built all the infrastructure around it, and 5 years later they're getting 20,000 people, they're like, we're out of here. Yep. And then we're sitting there with an empty building on I-95.
That's not going to happen. That's not how these contracts work. The team is not going to leave in 5 years. Like, that's just not how this works. So that's weird that he said that, because I don't – and I was talking with Dan about it, our friend, and he was saying the same thing, that that would never happen. The scenario, the straw man, is a straw man argument. Now, could you say 15, 20 years from now, is that possible? Sure. Like, I'm not going to say that wouldn't be, but how these contracts and how these stadium, how all this is structured, they're not going to put all these resources into this and the team is going to walk in 5 years if they're bringing in 20,000 fans. That's just not how these are set up to work. So I don't necessarily see, and I'm not entirely against some of the things that he has brought up, because I think there is a concern, and you and I had a concern about when they said where they were going to possibly put the stadium. We're like, man, that's going to be tough for some fans to get down to, because there's a decent fan base in like Arlington and all these other places where there's young, you know, 20, 30-year-old fan bases who, like, you know, want to go to games and buy drinks and like have a good time. And now you're asking them to drive, you know, an hour and a half down 95 to go see the team. It's like, no, we're going to stay up here and go to a sports bar and watch the game.
Right, right.
Why would we go down there? But I just think that this guy, Chad Peterson, I think some of the things that he is worried about are not necessarily things to worry about, and then there's things that he is worried about that he should be. I mean, like, that, I get it. I get some of his point there, but I will say that, yeah, as far as like the team leaving 5 years, like if he had changed that to like 15 or 20 years, yes, I think that's a valid argument. But 5 years, 6 years, 7 years, that's just not going to happen.
I just think that it's a huge commitment to the point,
sure,
where, and I understand his viewpoint. And what I kind of meant at the end of the clip, what you just said, like, you know, 5 years, that's not going to happen because it's going to take 5 years to build this whole entire shindig.
And even then, the way the contracts are set up, the team won't be able to leave in 5 years. Like, right. That's just not going to be a thing.
Right. And that's the biggest point that I think that we're trying to look at here is the infrastructure that is being presented to be built. I also think he does understand how much I-95 sucks to go down. I think that he's also factoring that in because it's different if you make that in Sterling, where Maryland people and Virginia people, D.C. people, even West Virginia people can come and enjoy the amphitheater with concerts going on and and all these different infrastructure things that they're planning on building. But, you know, Occoquan, Woodbridge, I just went down there yesterday, like through it, and it just sucks. I mean, trying to get from 123 to I-95 on that right-hand lane.
Yeah, I know
like,
what you're talking about.
You have to cut people off after you get over the bridge, and people are honking, and people are trying to, like, they're in a freaking Indy 500, and they're trying to get through that area. It's just like, it just sucks. And imagine it being on a game day. And I just think when it comes down to the entire, you know, globe of infrastructure they're talking about, not just the stadium, I think that's what he's trying to make a point of, is are they going to have, you know, these things being filled out? Because say somehow they do leave in 15 years. You got this huge stadium there that you just built and spent billions of dollars on or whatever it is. And you got all this infrastructure where, you know, all the branding for the Commanders and all this kind of stuff is going to be washed away because they're going to be somewhere else or whatever it may be. I think that's his point, what he's trying to make, but he's just not wording it the right way. But at the same time, I do agree with him on that sense that it is a little worrisome because right now, in this day and age for this franchise, yes, it's a very profitable franchise and how much it's worth, where it's located and everything like that in the DMV. Problem is the owner sucks. The product on the field has deteriorated almost each and every year.
Subpar.
It's gone, it's gone up and down to the point where, you know, they haven't won. I believe they haven't won 12 games since like 1991 or something of that nature. So that's the thing is like you're looking at it and saying, is this franchise going to be, I mean, are they, is the city, is the state going to make their money back on this franchise? Because say they do move in 15 years, are they going to make their money back or are they just going to break even? I just think that it's going to be kind of worrisome when that vote comes down, and if they don't pass the vote somehow in Virginia to pass and get the money and all that stuff, then what's going to happen? Because D.C. still doesn't want to put up the money. Maryland says hit the road, Jack. We don't want you to come back. And that's the problem is like, where are they going to go then? We're not going to go to Romney, West Virginia, and build one in the mountains. Hey, like, it's
not?
Like, where are you going to go?
Romney fan base there.
Yeah, sure.
I don't know, man. It's all over the place, and this is a big vote coming up this week. It has to be approved by, if the legislation is not approved by June 1st, which is Wednesday, it can't be picked up again till the next legislative session in 2023.
Yep.
So we'll see what happens.
And at that point, it might be too late. Because then they're going to have to stay at FedEx probably an extra year or two because of the sole fact that nothing's being built.
Which we don't want. So we'll move on to some lighter topics here. First, I want to give Mike a chance to give his Sultan of Seltzers review here. This is a brand new segment. It debuted last episode. Mike is the Sultan of Seltzer. There will be different music for this segment in the future. I'm working on it. But for now, again, if you recall last week, Three Birds Hard Seltzer Mango Lemonade, Mike rated a 7.6 out of 10. This week, he has a new seltzer here, and I'll turn things over to the Sultan.
I need a hat. I need a hat to wear during this segment. But something that's not offensive.
Well, yeah, that's a good start.
What do sultans wear? All I can think of is
You're okay. Okay, for a second, I thought you meant like just a regular hat that just wasn't offensive. Like it didn't say like "fu" on it or something. I didn't know you meant like a sultan hat. You didn't want to be offensive. I literally thought you just meant like a regular hat that has like a middle finger up or something. I was like, yeah, that's you don't want to do that.
I just want a hat. Like all I can think about is Aladdin. But I don't know if that's culturally appropriate.
That might be rough. Yeah, that might be rough.
I'm going to Amazon it. I have the Smirnoff. I don't know how they pronounce it. Smirnoff Seltzer Pink Lemonade or Smirnoff Pink Lemonade Seltzer. One of the two. So it's a very beautiful can.
I love pink lemonade.
Well, that was what intrigued me the most. was the sole fact that it was pink lemonade, and we do like the lemonades.
Yep.
So the main course of action here for the Sultan of Seltzer is we're going to do the appeal. The appeal is very nice. It's a very beautiful.
That's a great can.
Very beautiful can. It screams lemonade. Screams it. And pink lemonade is even better than regular lemonade, in my opinion.
100%. 100% accurate.
But just looking at the can, it has palm trees on it, nice colors. Very,
it feels like summer.
Very
feels
nicely
like summer
placed.
In a can.
That's right. The taste. Here we go.
All right, Mike is drinking the Smirnoff Pink Lemonade Seltzer here. And he's going to give us his taste and then his rating.
A little lower on the alcohol percentage, though. 4.5.
Ooh, yeah. And that's not good. That's not good. Mike needs a good... 5% and up. But if can the taste compensate for the lower alcohol percentage here?
Okay, I'm going to place that down. So the appeal does it. The taste, I would say it's slightly above average. It's not the best. Okay. It's definitely, and again, mango, truly, lemonades are the best in the world that are my favorite.
Yes.
But... this one, you know, those are a 10 out of 10. But this one...
let me know when you're ready to give your number. So I'll do the drum roll.
I will give a number right now, sir.
Okay, here we go.
The Smirnoff Seltzer Pink Lemonade Flavor for an overall score of 7.4.
7.4. Wow. 7.4 out of 10 for the Smirnoff Pink Lemonade Seltzer. That puts it in second place beneath Three Birds Hard Seltzer Mango Lemonade.
Beautiful can. Good taste, but it's not going to sit there and say, hey, I need to go out and buy this, you know, 12-pack. I need to go get this for the
Memorial Day cookout, guys.
I don't need to get it for that, okay? It's good enough, but it's a beautiful can, but it's for...
Is the pink lemonade heavy, like, flavor-wise? Like, is it very, like, pink lemonade-y? As far as, like, does it feel like you're drinking a pink lemonade versus, like, drinking a seltzer?
No. You definitely can taste a seltzer. That's the thing is... when you have like a truly lemonade, again, we always revert back to those. When you have one of those,
that's the gold standard when it comes to seltzer.
Exactly,
truly lemonade.
It literally they taste like lemonade. I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah.
I have one in my fridge, but it's not really a seltzer. It's a cocktail, ready to drink cocktail. I don't know if we're gonna consider those.
Like a High Noon or something like that?
No, it's from Devil's Backbone. And okay. Don't want to give it away, but that one is as close to a truly lemonade tasting wise, goodness wise, as you're gonna get.
Okay, well, we'll see if the Sultan and Seltzer wants to review that next week or the week after.
But are we considering those, the ready to drink cocktails?
I mean, your name is the Sultan of Seltzer, not the
Sultan of anything but beer.
Sultan of of ready to drink cocktails.
All right,
so
seltzers, keeping it seltzers.
I think we're sticking with seltzers. So that is the Sultan of Seltzer review. Now we will move to a little bit of Oreo talk here, as I wanted to, here we go, game show music here. So Delish.com put out a list of their 30 best Oreo flavors ranked and tested. And I wanted us, we're not going to go through all 30 here, but we'll spend the next 10 minutes just kind of seeing who they have at their higher end and seeing if... Seeing if these authors are correct in their thinking here. Tess Komen and Valerie Megan. And this came out March 22nd of this year, so not that long ago, last month. So I will not just give the number one right away, but I'll tailor it back to... we're going to start at 10, and we're going to go up, and I'm going to tell you what they've got here. So at number 10, Mike, or 20th on the article, but 10, you know, top 10 is Carrot Cake Oreo. Carrot Cake Oreo, I'm not super thrilled about that, Mike, because I see who's 11th, Fudge Covered Oreo. They put Fudge Covered outside of the top 10, and they put Carrot Cake in there instead? I'm not a fan of that, Mike.
That's just trying to please all the Karens out there that are like, hey, let me bring Carrot Cake to the Christmas party. It's like, no one wants Carrot Cake. Bring me some chocolate.
No, it says
carrot cake.
A delightful addition to the permanent flavor fam. Yeah, the carrot cake, terrible decision here. It's got the yellow cookie and then like white icing, and it's just like all of it is not a fan of mine. The next one, number 9, is even more on the spectrum that I hate. Caramel Coconut Oreo. I'm not a coconut guy at all.
I know you're not. I like coconut. Now, I don't want to overdo it with the coconut. But I will say one thing. My dad would love these damn things.
Caramel coconut?
Two of his favorite
I like
things.
Caramel for sure, but...
I mean, it's not bad. I'd like to try it.
I'm not on a deserted island. I don't need to be eating coconuts. disgusting. Now, this one I can get behind. Apple cider donut Oreo. But I've never had them, so they could be. It could taste terrible. I like apple cider donuts.
I mean,
do you think they've captured it in Oreo form correctly?
First of all, I don't want anything that I could. I don't want a drink, you know, be in my food. Like,
well, have you had apple cider donuts?
I've had apple cider.
You've had apple cider and you've had donuts.
Yeah,
you need to have apple cider donuts specifically. It's a fall thing.
But
you have to have them in the fall.
That's like having pumpkin spice latte. I don't want to. I just want
it's
my.
Not,
I just
trust
wanna,
me. I'm gonna buy you. I'm gonna buy you. A pack of 6 apple cider donuts, and I'm going to watch you eat all 6. You're going to love it.
Really bored nowadays.
Yeah. Number, I don't know where we are, 7, I guess. Mega Stuff Oreo. Now, this should be in the top 10 because, yeah. As you and I have said on this show, it's all about the stuff. That's what we're doing here when it comes to Oreo. It's all about the stuff. The next one is an abomination to this list because Oreo Pistachio Thins, Mike. Oreo Pistachio Thins. Not only is a thin on this list, which is disgusting, because it's like, all right, might as well eat a piece of paper than have an Oreo thin. Second of all, pistachios? What are we doing here? What these are the things that weren't on this list. Gingerbread Oreos, dark chocolate Oreos, chocolate peanut butter pie Oreos. Those all didn't make the top 10, but thin pistachios? It's disgusting.
I don't understand how they have nuts in. I mean, I understand that it's not like I have nuts inside the cookie, but I mean, come on now. You can't put that in the top 10. That's just, that's like
terrible.
That's like, what are we feeding elephants?
Exactly. What are we feeding elephants? Exactly. Exactly right. Another one on the top 10 here. Chromatica Lady Gaga Oreo. Get out of here.
What the hell is that?
What are we doing?
You can't put a limited edition Oreo as one of the best, unless it's the most stuff.
Unless it's great. And this is not. Great. Look, it's got like green in the middle and like, what even flavor is it? Pine colored golden cookie with green cream? What are we doing here? This is disgusting.
Pink color.
Hate it. Hate it. Hate every. Ugh.
Next
on the list, golden Oreo. I mean,
it's good. It's
it is good.
I mean,
it is good.
To me, it tastes like a different type of cookie. Like it tastes like a vanilla wafer with something.
Yeah,
on.
It's not terrible. It's not terrible. It's if you don't want chocolate, this is a good alternative. Like,
right.
You get the golden, like you said, it's like a graham cracker type thing. Like it tastes pretty good. Now, next on our list here, this is in the number 3 spot, or actually number 4 spot, most stuff. Now this,
how is that number 4?
Yeah, number 4. Now look, most stuff is the greatest thing on the planet because you put two most stuffs together, and you have an amazing amount of stuff.
A lot of stuff.
That's a lot of stuff. Is it too much stuff? That's the question.
I don't know if it can be too much.
I've never tried it.
I mean, they couldn't even fit the second F on the stuff on the bag, which is.
I feel like you and I tried to find most stuff in the grocery stores for a long time, and I feel like all we were able to find was like mega stuff.
Yeah, and double stuff. Yeah, we did find a lot of them. There are limited edition, but I do have one brand new pack frozen in my freezer.
Oh, yeah. This is why we do this show. Number 3 on our list here, the standard Oreo.
I mean, you can't put that in there. It's just an Oreo.
Yeah, it's look, it's good. They're so much better. You know what I'm shocked is not in this top 10 here is I love the chocolate Oreo with the chocolate cream center.
It's not bad.
I feel like that should be top 10. Number 2 on the list is one of the most egregious things I've ever read. And like you could punch me in the face and I won't be as upset as seeing lemon Oreo number 2 on their list here, Mike. A lemon Oreo.
There's some decent lemon cookies out there. But a lemon Oreo, we're talking about Oreo flavors here. We're not talking about some like, nostalgic cookie flavors. You know, we're talking about regular Oreos here.
Yeah.
I mean, you're putting lemon Oreo above Oreo. Like, I mean, I don't think Oreo should be on the list because it's Oreo flavors. But Oreo should be, if you're going to rank it anything, Oreo should be number 1.
these people should have their journalistic license removed. They should be banished from society.
Read the description. Read the description.
Believe it or not, this pack of lemon Oreos was the first to go in its entirety. There was not a single piece of criticism of the flavor. People delighted in these. There's just no way. There's just no way that people had no complaints about this.
Well, here's the thing. This Oreo, by far the most stuff, I should say. This Oreo with by far the most feedback, the general consensus was the most stuff cookie is a six-year-old's dream come true. A glorious, nostalgic, cream-filled bite. There were the party poopers or two that said that it's too much stuff.
Well, yeah, okay. those are tarred and feathered.
They're the lemon-flavored people.
Yeah, that is exactly right. Those are the lemon-flavored people. I mean, here's the thing. The people that probably did all these ratings are probably really skinny. And that's right. What annoys me. They're probably like, oh, I like the lemon flavor, and I like the pistachio thins, and like, you know, a lot of stuff. It's like, no.
Pistachio
give me a bath of the most stuff. Just put me in a bathtub filled with stuff.
I want the stuff, man.
I want the stuff. And then the number one on their list was Double Stuff Oreo. And here's the thing. It's like, if Double Stuff is your favorite, then how is the most stuff or mega stuff not higher on your list? If you like the stuff, which they clearly do because they like Double Stuff, is the problem is they don't like more than double the stuff? Like, is that the issue?
I'm kind of confused. I didn't know stuff just had one F in every packaging.
Yeah, it does.
I never knew that. Yeah. But that's the funny thing is, like, yeah, if you like the stuff, if you like more stuff, then the most stuff should be the best stuff. I just think that when you're talking about stuff, Double Stuff is great, but I mean, when you have two of those most stuffs, you just feel, I mean, you just feel happy inside. The double stuff, absolutely. You feel great, but it's like, and by the way, shout out to Oreo, man. Nabisco, I mean, they're just throwing stuff in there, and they just keep getting people to buy it. I mean, they can just name it something different, and then people will buy it. I just don't get it.
The more stuff, the better, if you ask me.
A lot of stuff.
A lot of stuff. Some notable ones that didn't make the list. I didn't even know this existed, Mike. They make the fudge-dipped Oreo in bites. Form,
ooh,
which is a game changer in my eyes. Is like, obviously, like, I'd rather have just the full thing, but if you want to try to like be like, hey, I'm gonna eat healthy, so I'm only gonna eat, you know, 17 of these fudge tipped Thins bites. The other ones that didn't make the list, the chocolate Oreo, like, yeah. I mentioned peanut butter Oreos, okay. White fudge dipped, no thanks. Red velvet, I've had that one's okay. But Mike, I will say the one that I had that Abby and I bought, which isn't even on this list, Ultimate Chocolate Flavor Cream. So this is a limited edition option that released nationwide January 3rd of this year. It has three layers of white, milk, and dark chocolate cream on it. And it is limited edition, and it is, if I were ranking it right now, I would have to put it, honestly, at number one. It's the greatest Oreo I've ever had.
Really? Even above the most?
Because here's the thing, it has... Because it has these multiple layers and these different flavors, it has a lot of stuff in it. But it's got these different chocolate layers to it, and it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. I will say, like, it's even more than the most stuff. I think because most stuff, you're just getting all stuff. With this stuff, you're not getting just stuff, but you're also getting the different flavor stuff, like milk and dark chocolate and white chocolate. You're getting it all together. Oof. You need to get yourself a pack.
Are you going to have one tonight?
I've already had some before the show.
Okay, yeah. Okay. Well, when you have one tonight, I need you to take a picture of the inside stuff.
Oh, I'll take one. I was gonna say something inappropriate. I'll save that for after we finish recording.
hey man, I love the stuff though.
The stuff. So those are some Oreo lists, and we will be doing a draft at some point of maybe like. Cookies or things like that, like, and Oreos will be in the mix for sure. But we had to talk. We had to talk about it. As we get near the end of the show here, we are going to hit up the final lap, a chance to talk about some bigger stories in sports. 90 seconds on the clock. Here we go. We'll start with the Boston Celtics. They beat the Heat in Game 7. We are all set for a Boston and Golden State Finals, Mike.
It's crazy to see the Celtics make it this far. They were projected possibly to lose to the Nets, and all of a sudden, now they're all the way in the finals.
And this was a 500 team at one point, and they made this. I mean, it's just crazy. Real Madrid wins a championship. Champions League final over Liverpool. Kind of a crazy scene in France the other day.
Real Madrid has literally the craziest road where they are underdogs in a lot of the elimination games, and it just came through every single time. PSG, Chelsea, Man City, and Liverpool. They just took down all of England. That's all you could say.
Yeah. Top-ranked Scottie Scheffler loses in his playoff to Sam Burns over the weekend.
Scottie Scheffler was all pissed off that he missed the cut, the PGA Championship. Now, he's good and all. He doesn't move the needle for me. I'm not a big fan.
In NBA news, former Detroit Piston Darvin Ham has been hired as the Lakers head coach.
He's just going into a bad situation. Good luck.
Yeah, you don't want to go into that situation for sure. Because as we all know, it's LeBron's team. Like, whoever the coach is, doesn't matter. LeBron's the one who pulls the strings. And last but not least, one of my favorite sports stories of the year now is Tommy Pham and Jock Peterson. As Tommy Pham slaps Jock Peterson, and it was all over fantasy football disagreement. And it was all based around the use of the IR slot for players that aren't technically injured long term, but just were sitting that day, and putting those players in the IR spot, and so then you bring somebody else into your team, which is part of the rules, but it's kind of frowned upon in fantasy. And it wasn't just that, because there was also, I guess, Jock Peterson had sent some memes in their group text about, because the Padres did bad last year, and he sent some meme about that. And it's like, but the funniest thing was hearing the explanation, like Jock Peterson talking about why Tommy Pham slapped him because of fantasy football. I mean, Mike, I'm sure you've had some fantasy football disagreements in your time. I know I have as well. But to go slap another man about it, that's a whole nother level, man.
I've gotten very, very frustrated. I've had a lot of different incidents that have led to disagreements and everything like that. I have something similar in a basketball fantasy league that I'm in. Literally, these people will literally get on at like 3, 4 a.m. and it's a non-waiver league, so they literally will get on and just drop whoever's not playing and pick up other people who are playing. So like, yeah, at the end of the season, they have like 380 moves, and I have like 17, and it's like, I'm still, performing. My team is good, but it's like, this guy's picking up like bench players just so he can get more points. It's just like, and it's annoying.
It's tough. And like, that's why like the league you're in and the people you're in it with is so key, because you don't want to be with guys that are doing shady stuff like that. And like, but it's just so funny to hear about even pro athletes, man. Yeah. They're getting in these same arguments, and I'm sure the money they have on those leagues is a lot more than what we put in our leagues.
I had one incident where I was working and my dad was working, and my cousin at the time was running our fantasy. It was a family fantasy football league. And the first year my dad won. I got third, but I was running my dad's team, so technically I won. he was just putting up the money, and I was basically giving him yes or no answers for picking up players, stuff like that. So, my dad won the first year. I won the second year. Third year, my quarterback got hurt or something like that, in the NFC Championship game or something like that. So I ended up getting second because I had to play a backup in the championship. And then all of a sudden, the fourth year, my cousin has the draft labeled as a certain day. So I'm ready to rock and roll. He changes it, and literally a day before, and I'm like, dude, like, me and my dad's working, I'm working, I can't be on for the draft. He's like, sorry, man, that's the time we got. I said, why did you change it? Oh, my aunt so-and-so, who got last in every single year only drafts Steelers players, she couldn't make it, so now she can make it. She's only going to draft the Steelers players.
That's like, so stupid.
What I did? I said, screw it, didn't show up, didn't log on the entire year, so there's two teams out of the 12 or whatever that were in the league that had all kickers.
That's a spite move right there.
Oh,
that's a
screw
spite
that.
Move. But yeah, the when it comes to a draft, the etiquette is you got to get that day and time set about a week in advance of the draft and make sure everybody's on the same page, and then once it's there, it's there. And if somebody a day before says, hey, I can't do it at that time, so be it. You had, you know, you should have spoke up a week in advance, but you can't change the draft at the last second.
Two former winners out of the 3 years, and you're going to say, oh, sorry.
You can't do that.
Get out of here.
We're going to hit up some trivia before we do our picks of the week. This is our segment where Mike and I both give each other some trivia questions, one on Detroit sports, one on DC sports. I will go first this week with my Detroit sports question.
Hit me.
Simple one here. What's the nickname for the teams at Oakland University? Do you know the mascot names there at Oakland University? What do they go by?
Is it the Grizzlies?
That is part of the name. There is something that precedes, there's something before Grizzlies.
Mountainous Grizzlies.
No, but it's alliterative, so it also starts with a G.
The gray Grizzlies.
The golden Grizzlies. I mean, you got Grizzlies, which golden is the important part. So you technically got it.
I know their colors are gold and black.
Yeah, there you go. The Golden Grizzlies of Oakland.
Maybe I should have said golden when I just said gold and black. I knew the colors. I don't know why I said gray. Right.
Yeah, you said grizzly. I'm sure people don't go around saying, like, the Golden Grizzlies. They probably just call them the Grizzlies.
Yeah, the Blue Bombers.
Yeah, there we go.
Wasn't that like the on the backyard baseball was the Blue Bombers?
Yeah, I love the backyard baseball names. Humongous Rockets and all that stuff. Yeah,
I got a Humongous Rocket for the game. All right, here we go. DC Sports Trivia Question of the Week. Right. How old was Bryce Harper when he made his All-Star Game debut? I'm not going to give you the year because that will give it away.
Right.
So how old was Bryce Harper when he made his All-Star Game debut in his career?
Okay, so the funny thing is I think I'm like right around the same age as him.
Okay.
So I'm trying to think back. And I know he entered the league pretty young, but it's not like he was in the All-Star game immediately or anything. I mean, my guess would be it's around that MVP season, which was like 2015 or 2016, something like that. Or was it like 2017? I am going to say his first, but it's, you said his first All-Star game, right?
Yeah, his debut.
His debut. So he could have made the All-Star team before he won the MVP. I'm going to say he made his first All-Star game at 22 years old.
Incorrect. Would you like a question?
I mean,
ow. At this point, it's like you're just guessing age. 19. He was 19.
He wanted 19.
Because I believe he came up during the middle of the season when he was 18. And then all of a sudden, the following year, he had a pretty good year. I believe he was an alternate. I'm not gonna mistake.
Okay. Myself. Okay. Wow. I didn't know he was at that. Wow. So that would have been
2012.
See, that's the thing. In 12, I mean, he hit 270, 22 bombs, like nothing. Too.
That's what I think. I think someone bowed out or something like that, and he became an alternate.
Okay.
Because you always look at those type of players that are like, oh, this guy's an alternate. It's like, this guy is like the 20th best quarterback in the NFL. Like,
I was thinking it was that 2015 MVP season, which was 7 years ago, and I'm 29, and I think he is too, so I was thinking 22 years old. So that was my logic there. I was incorrect. Good for him, man. Jesus. And I'll tell you, Bryce Harper, and I texted the group the other day, Bryce Harper's hitting pretty crazy this year, too, for a Phillies team that's struggling. The guy's putting together a great season.
Yeah, I took him as my MVP in the preseason.
Yeah. Yeah, it was smart because, he's playing great. Let's head up the money line, sponsored by DraftKings. Mike holds a 3-point lead over me. I'm 8. I don't even want to say the records, but Mike is three ahead of me right now. And we've got some picks here. So I will start with my lock. I'm fading myself this week, by the way, when I did the pick. So originally I was looking at the Oilers for this game. So then I went the opposite, and I have the Avalanche -1.5 against the Oilers tomorrow. And then my dog, same thing. I think the Warriors will win game one, but I'm going to go ahead and take the Celtic Dogs +3.5 against the Warriors game one on Thursday.
Hey, at some point you got to turn the tide, and I think fading yourself would be the way to do it.
I think it's the way to go. It's the way to go.
So my picks this week, I got my lock. Lightning -1.5 over whoever they play. I believe that might be on Wednesday or Thursday, whether it be the Rangers or the Hurricanes, as they are going to be playing tonight. So I got the Lightning winning by two because Lightning honestly just wiped the Panthers off the face of the planet. And you think
they're going to win it all?
No, I think whoever wins the Edmonton Colorado series is going to win it all. But I think Vasilevsky is just going to shut down the Hurricanes or the Rangers. I mean, overall, I'm going to take that over anyone. So that'll be later on. Whoever they play, it doesn't matter. My dogs, I'm going to take the Oilers plus 1.5 at the Avs. I think the Oilers have really good offense. Now, are the Avs going to be able to just dominate just like they do everybody? Who knows? But the Edmonton Oilers just came off wiping the Calgary Flames off the map 4-1 in their series. So minus 1.5 Lightning over whoever they play at the time, and Edmonton plus 1.5 at the Avs on Tuesday.
We also remind you to check out Bird's Eye View, True Stories of Professional Basketball. 2 episodes in the book so far. 3rd episode coming out on Wednesday, maybe. Be sure to check out the show. Erica does a great job. I believe this week's episode is the one that we had talked about on this show about talking about contracts and agents and all that sort of stuff. That was what Mike wanted, an episode about. And funny enough, Erica was already planning on that. So that should be the episode here. I think that's coming out this week. Subscribe to that show for sure. We produce that one. And then, of course, follow the show on Twitter at the DC Crossover and at Cerrone16. Look out this summer for some drafts. I think we're going to probably do our first draft next week. We'll talk about it. But I think we might do something along those lines. I'm not sure what it will be yet, but we will, of course, let you guys know. And then also follow the show on TikTok, DC Crossover Podcasts. Check out all the clips there. I guess you don't – do you subscribe to a TikTok or you like
– You can follow it, but
– You follow it. That's the word I meant. Yeah,
At the same time, it's like, you know, you can follow – I mean, TikTok is always weird because, like I said before in past episodes, TikTok is not really about the following. It's more so about the liking. For the most part, because you always see people have, you know, 1 million followers and they have like 10 million likes or something like that. You obviously want to see more likes. And, all right, we're getting some good numbies. So, yeah, if you want to go follow it, you can obviously see we've been doing 4 or 5 videos a week. So definitely check out that. Again, like Ben said, they're clips of the show, not full segments. So a little teaser, like little guy in the Geico commercial that teases the dollar bill over people's heads with the fishing line. Definitely check that out.
Yeah, be sure to check that out, and we'll be back next week. And meanwhile, I'm going to go have another Ultimate Chocolate Flavor Cream Oreo. I will see you guys. This has been another episode of the DC Crossover.